Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Tuesday once again. It is the Outside Podcast on the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network. I am your host, the Royster Chill Ride, Chill Vibes as always. Not too chill for those of you that those persons with uteruses in America. Not a great weekend for you, but I've said on my Twitter, if you follow me on other podcasts that I'm involved in, you're all loved, you're all supported. I cannot speak for the entirety of my colleagues at Liberty Ballers, but 1,000% I am here to support whatever you persons with uteruses need. Yeah, just hit me up, Twitter, support. However I can help, just let me know. In the meantime, Dave, that's a terrible transition. And that is a terrible transition to go from that piece of horrific news to talking about the Sixers and what they did on draft night. Like, although I don't know, maybe we'll smooth this out. Let's see what we can do. Dave, how you doing? I have Dave on.
That was a great intro. Thank you.
That was a terrible transition. That was not one of my strongest, but hey, it's the first podcast I've had to do since that decision. So you know what? I had to at least recognize it and acknowledge it. So you know,
speaking out for what's right, you know, it doesn't matter if we were smooth.
That's just what I do here. You know, I'm the senior black correspondent at Liberty Ballers. I tackle a wide range of political and social topics. So you know what? I'll take it. That's fine. So Sixers had their draft last week. They didn't select a player. They traded for one. And that comes in the form of Mr. D'Anthony Melton. I got to say, I was a fan of this trade. I am a fan of this trade. I like what D'Anthony Melton brings to the Sixers in terms of his defense and a shooting ability. Dave, what do you think about the move?
Yeah, I thought it was a strong move. I thought the chances that he's going to make the lineup are a lot better than whoever they would have selected at 23. There was a part of me emotionally that was disappointed they didn't wind up with like the 42nd pick in that draft.
Yeah.
As well, just so you could grab one of those guys that we spent a lot of time looking at, some of them who slid, E.J. Liddell, Kendall Brown, a few other names, I think Jalen.
Seriously, you know what? We do all that work for the front office and we help them scout these players and they just don't heed our advice. They don't listen to us. Like, I'm starting to feel a certain kind of way about that, you know?
They should have listened to us on Al Horford. They should have listened to us on a lot of things.
they're just bereft of listening to people on the site here. That's okay. It's fine. That's all right. We'll support you either way. But yeah, back to D'Anthony Melton. One of the things that I kind of see in Melton, just from the defensive side of the ball, we'll get to his offense in a second, but when people talked about that, like, dog mentality, that scrapper mentality, I definitely see that in D'Anthony Melton. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I agree. The Sixers, we talked a lot about heart, hustle, spirit, toughness, 3-and-D, two-way potential. So pretty much all those talking points that have been with us since mid-May when they were ousted unceremoniously. He brings in droves. I like him. Sort of an explosive two-way player. You know, his right off the bench, he can come in. You talk about those, like, microwave bench scorer archetypes like a Lou Williams in his prime. But Melton comes at it from the 3-and-D perspective where he gets a lot of steals. But unlike Matisse Thybulle, not to pick on him, he's more likely to hit a three, and he'll take some pretty ambitious pull-up threes as well. So I think he could change the game with his impact on that end. Currently, I don't know how long this will last, but currently they have two of the leaders in the league in deflections and steals. in both Melton and Thybulle. So if they wind up keeping those two, there'll be some pretty interesting possibilities.
I did not know that. Look at you bringing stats and numbers into the podcast that I always, always appreciate. Melton, he's another one of those players that Daryl has loved over the years. So when you talk about De'Anthony Melton, you talk about James Harden, you talk about PJ Tucker, who we'll have to see what happens with him. Daryl, I saw a meme online the other day, and it was like Philadelphia Rockets. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? If Daryl's trying to recreate the Rockets here in Philly, I'm on board with that, because they were one Chris Paul injury away from an NBA championship or NBA finals appearance. And when you look at the landscape of the East, I mean, I still don't know if there's like a set, like, oh, this, it's definitely this team. I can definitely say that about Milwaukee. I can kind of say that about Boston. I'm sorry, Heat fans. I'm still a hater. I can't see it for Miami. I just can't. I don't. Maybe, I don't know if Kyrie finds his way there, and we'll get to him in the second half of the podcast. But like, as constructed, you know, you live by the three, you die by the three. Miami certainly died by the three in that playoff. So with Melton coming in, and if Morey wants to recreate the Rockets, I'm okay with that. That's fine.
Yeah, I think those 2018 Rockets would beat a handful of NBA champions over the last 15 years, without Chris Paul's injury. I think they were one of the best teams. Them falling short, but outplaying the 2018 Golden State Warriors is pretty incredible. So if the idea is, in theory, you're swapping in Joel Embiid for Clint Capella and taking lesser versions of James Harden, not the worst thing you could do. I don't know who Tyrese Maxey is playing in this scenario, but
Tyrese Maxey's Eric Gordon. That's who he is. And we'll get to Eric Gordon in a second too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So plenty to like about that, you know, finding some values. And De'Anthony Melton wasn't on that team, but he was someone that they drafted in that year, right? So
you're seeing a lot of these players that come from those types of front offices with like De'Anthony Melton and guys coming out of the G League and thriving, like Robert Covington. Just remember, Covington started in Houston. So that's kind of where he was found. And there's quite a tree of like legit late round, second round G League players coming from Houston. And we say it all the time, Daryl loves to play within the margins. And once again, it just seems like he just came up aces on this one.
Yeah, I think the very analytically minded front offices, they look at things like 3-and-D potential. They probably figure if you get a guy who could only shoot and only, play some D, you could make up the value that another team might pay a lot of money for in a player like maybe Marcus Morris, who does some other things. You're paying the extra $10 million for his ability to put the ball on the floor and things like that.
Right.
Where if you have only $9 million, $8 million to spend, maybe a guy like Melton, and he's much shorter than Danny Green. He's about 25 pounds lighter. But you do wonder with his defensive prowess, is he able to take on some of those assignments? His wingspan is only an inch shorter than Danny Green's. Can he take on some of those assignments at the three and play alongside Tyrese Maxey and James Harden? I don't know. Maybe I guess we'll learn that pretty soon. They might not know the answer either and just feel that the value is well enough there to find it out and figure it out on the fly.
And what you said about some of these rotations is interesting, because basically De'Anthony Melton comes right in and he pretty much assumes the role that Danny Green would still be serving were it not for his ACL injury, which is why it was an even greater trade for the Sixers, because number one, they get somebody healthy, they get a body in there, they get somebody that's about 10 years younger, who's, I don't know, kind of the same player as Danny Green, yes?
Well, Danny Green, you're a lot more comfortable with his open three-point shot shooting. I mean, one of the best corner three shooters in history, whereas Memphis fans will tell you the reason you got Melton is because their coaching staff and our Sean Kennedy did a good job interviewing Sean Coleman today.
Shout out Sean Kennedy. I listened to that. That was really good.
Yeah, a pair of must-read Sean's today on our site. So, they'll talk about that Well, Melton shot 3 of 21 on wide open threes in the playoffs this year. So clearly they didn't feel that they could trust him to knock down wide open threes at a clip where they were going to keep him and they wanted to take this high upside shot. We could quibble about the value they got in that trade. I don't hear a ton of players. A lot of people are saying the Sixers got a great deal here. I don't see a ton of people saying that the Memphis Grizzlies really messed up. Maybe because, you know, Roddy has some upside and they're wondering what he could bring and they're giving them the benefit of the doubt. But it is interesting that they made this deal. And I guess some of it is just simply the concerns that Melton is not a guy that you could absolutely plug in and expect him to knock these three-pointers down.
From that perspective, it sounds like you don't think Melton's going to start, because if he's not, then I'm wondering, so you're looking at, it's just this straight up Harden, Maxey, Harris,
Embiid. If they went into the year as currently constructed now, I'd like his chances of starting, even though it'd be pretty freaking small, right? But yeah. With all of these other dominoes still to fall, was it Mark Stein who left breadcrumbs that maybe James Harden will opt out in the end and take just enough of a discount to let them open up a big MLE and target a guy like PJ Tucker, in which case I think he would start, and that would be the right move because he can guard up pretty well.
True.
He's a good player to switch, and then Melton would get a lot of minutes. You know, he'd be your sixth man, I suppose, but maybe not your closer.
It seems like, and now we're going to talk about some of these free agents, it seems like the Sixers are kind of lasered in on PJ Tucker. There's been report after report after tweet after fax after carrier pigeon that comes across my desk, and it's just like, oh, the Sixers are prepared to offer him like 3 years, $30 million. And I'm like, first of all, 3 years for a guy that's 37. Let's pump the brakes on that a little bit. Let's see if we can do something better with that money. But if it's PJ Tucker that they're kind of focused on, I like what PJ Tucker brings to the team, but I feel like the Sixers should be looking at all avenues. And I feel like they're just kind of targeted on one.
Very difficult to talk about because it depends on so many things. James Harden opting in or out, how much room there is. Are they going to trade Tobias Harris, in which case you have plenty of room and then it doesn't matter quite as much what Harden does. Then finally you get to the point where you're talking about Tucker on this team. Can he help? I think absolutely. And Joel Embiid said it out loud. But on the other hand, if you read a piece like Jackson Frank wrote, you're looking at how he's an absolutely perfect fit in Miami and their switch everything system. All the best basketball he's ever played has been in a switch heavy lineup. We're a little bit closer to what the Milwaukee Bucks do, where you play a lot of drop coverage because you've got a really dominant rim protector. So it would be a different system, not the most seamless fit. So do you want to hard cap yourself? Do you want to lose a player like maybe Matisse Thybulle if you had to make this happen? What could you get for an alternative $6 million MLE instead and the ability to not be hard capped and let Daryl Morey have plenty of creativity and wiggle room throughout the NBA season? So there's so many moving parts that just going all in for Tucker or bust doesn't seem like the move. And I think, was it Paul Hudrick who wrote a piece essentially saying they're probably not Hudrick. They're probably not Tucker or bust, despite him being a very, very good fit atop their list. But they probably have like 12 alternatives they're pursuing. And I think Daryl Morey basically said as much after the draft.
I know they just traded for D'Anthony Melton, but I'm still not against the idea of bringing in somebody like Gary Harris in here and then just telling Matisse Thybulle, like, listen, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a hell of a comp to try to live up to, but we need you to be our PJ Tucker. Maybe not from the three-point shooting perspective, but like hounding, harassing positions 1 through 4. Like that's kind of what we need from you right now. And then we'll just fill out the rest of the shooting later. And if you can improve on your shot, like that's gravy, but if you can kind of be our version of PJ Tucker, then like that would be like absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, Tucker fills a lot of holes because right now you're looking at Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown, Jimmy Butler, Kevin Durant, and you're asking yourself who's going to guard these triple threat wings right now, and there's Gary Harris is not really an answer to that question, so I'm not sure what they do.
All right, so now we are going to take a little bit of a breather. We're going to satisfy some of the sponsors. This is the Out of Sight Podcast and the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network. We're going to come back and some exciting news from the borough that Dave used to do content for, and we'll get into that in just a second. It is the Out of Sight Podcast and Liberty Ballers Podcast Network. Be right back after a message from these words. It is the Out of Sight Podcast, Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, home to all of your favorite Vox Media podcasts regarding the Philadelphia 76ers. And speaking of the Sixers and other teams in the Eastern Conference, Dave, I don't know if you've been watching, paying attention, reading things on Twitter, but I mean, aside from the newest news that Kyrie is going to opt in to his $37 million player option, I think it's $37 million, there was a chance there where the Brooklyn Nets could have lost KD and Kyrie. Like, it was panic time in Brooklyn, pretty much.
Yeah, Nets fans were panicking because it seemed like Joe Tsai, their owner, was prepared to hit the eject on the team with the fourth best finals odds in the East right now per Vegas.
Right.
Which would be crazy because they don't even own their picks. They're all in Houston. So Houston was salivating here at the idea that they were just going to blow it all up. Kyrie opts in, as you can follow on Twitter. A lot of Lakers fans are still saying, hey, the dream's not dead. There's a lot of opt-in and trade scenarios here. Which is,
Lakers fans just, they have so much optimism to give, and I just feel bad for them sometimes that they just, their hopes are just dashed all the time. Like, I know they won the championship a couple of years ago, but that was in the bubble. I don't really count that. That's just me. Whatever. I mean,
don't they have like the most championships ever aside from Boston? And
yeah, so never ending
stream of free agents. I don't feel bad for them at all.
You know what, Lakers fans? Yeah, exactly. You know what, Lakers fans? You'll be all right. Just rub some dirt on it. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
Just wait for Giannis to opt out. You'll be fine.
I was disagreeing a little bit in our Slack with some other Liberty Ballers because I was saying this is not a good thing for the Sixers, Kyrie opting in, because most likely now he's going to be there. And while it's never a sure thing that he's going to play in all the games, that they're just another team that could knock the Sixers out of the playoffs. And the vibes between Kyrie and ownership right now may not be great, but the vibes in the locker room are probably just a 20-10 start away from being fine. They'll have some chips to trade. They can trade one of Joe Harris or Seth Curry along with a couple of the Sixers picks, 2023 and 2027, if they want to bring in even more help. So I think it's a good day to be a Nets fan.
Before Kyrie opted in, of course, we're all about scenarios, and Kyrie divulged his teams that he wants to play for list. And when I saw the Sixers on that list, I thought to myself, oh God, oh dear Lord Jesus, no, anything but that.
I thought it was great. I wondered for a moment,
Dave,
did he add it on
come
there?
Come on, man.
I wondered if he added it on there just for maximum shock value. Like, we spent the entire night of the draft talking about Kyrie Irving. Is that an accident? Like, that seems to happen with him more than any other player. So when you pictured like him playing with James Harden or Harden going back to Brooklyn or Ben Simmons, it was just all a lot. Anytime you can be named on a short list from a star who might be available, I think is a good thing. And I would have welcomed him. The Sixers could have got him for the right price. Like, there was rumors. Go ahead.
I would not have welcomed him at all.
Even on the MLE that we were hearing, he might go play $30 million less to join the Lakers.
There's no way he was taking an MLE to play anywhere. No way.
What about some of these deals we're hearing for Tobias Harris and Matisse Thybulle? The returns I'm hearing about are not as good as Kyrie Irving.
We'll get it. We'll get into all the fake trades. We'll get there. Just trust me. I'm sorry, but if I'm not getting a new number 11 jersey for Kyrie Irving, that number is specifically reserved for Jrue Holiday and or James Ennis. So sorry, yes. Kyrie, like you're not doing that. You're not tainting the legend of the number 11 in this town. You're just not. We won't stand for it.
Yeah, fair.
When everything was coming down the pipe, and it was panic time in Brooklyn, people were picketing outside the Barclays Center. That's not true. I'm just saying it may have happened. I thought about like throwing in, you know, fake Kevin Durant deals. I'm just thinking to myself, okay, I don't want Kyrie, but I will move heaven and earth to put KD on the same team as James Harden and Joel Embiid. I will do whatever necessary. Like, Daryl, you need 20. I got a 20 on that. That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, but like, I just didn't think it was even, you know, if Kevin Durant were to hit the market, there's no way that a Tobias Harris, Tyrese Maxey package is going to top the market.
Yeah, that's the Sixers can offer so much in a Durant deal, because you think Tobias Harris, Tyrese Maxey, Jaden Springer, Isaiah Joe, they still have some first round draft picks to throw in, and they get somebody that can that can play right now in Harris. They can flip Harris for, you know, whatever other expiring contracts, first round picks to a contender, and then they still have Maxey and a boatload of picks to build off of, because, you know, that worked so well the first time when, you know, they gave the Celtics all their picks for one big three, and then they did it again for another big three. That seems to be their move now. So, you know what, let's give Brooklyn a whole bunch of picks and then have them waste them a couple of years later.
There was a period of time in the day where the odds that DeAndre Ayton was going to become a Net went shooting up. So I guess someone thought that if they did make a big trade, that they would target, like, I don't know, Ayton in a sign-in trade of some sort.
All right, DeAndre Ayton's kind of a better return package than Tobias Harris, I'm not going to lie.
Well, if they were to actually shop KD, I mean, I don't think that Harris, Maxey, and all the picks the Sixers have left, which is not a lot, it's very few, would have even gotten them a conversation past the banks.
Let me think. Ayton, Cameron Johnson,
Mikal Bridges,
a couple of first round picks,
or just Devin. One beginning with Devin Booker.
Like, if you're the Suns, you're not trading away Devin. You're not exchanging Devin Booker for Kevin Durant. If anything, you try to put those two together.
You would try to put them together, but if the alternative was Ayton and Bridges and Cam Johnson, at some point you might say, well, maybe we just do Durant for Booker, and now we have Chris Paul, Kevin Durant, and all of the rest of our core.
Just make the trade for Ayton. Just have start Dario at center. Who cares at that point? You have Durant and Devin Booker, like, and Chris Paul. Like, what more do you need at that point?
Then the top worry was Miami. So I don't know what they were going to offer. Jimmy Butler
for Durant?
Yeah, they had the best odds to get him for like a few hours.
Adebayo, Harrow,
yeah,
Duncan Robinson, maybe.
I guess one beginning with Adebayo and Hero.
Yeah, it was a fun time for maybe like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and then Kyrie opted in, and just the traffic to the trade machine just kind of shut down.
Yeah, that, I mean, Lakers fans are still playing it, but most people are just ready to accept that we're going to see some Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons at some point.
I remember seeing some like KD to Portland stuff in the mix. I'm like, wait, okay, who the hell are the Trailblazers going to offer up that comes close to an equal kind of a deal?
Yeah, I don't know. Even Dame was tweeting it out, so I guess something beginning with Anthony Simons and every pick ever.
Literally every first round draft pick until like 2035.
Yeah, Simons, their seventh pick, Sharp, and just all the picks.
Now that some of these dominoes have fallen a little bit, like the draft is over, teams are starting to reshape their rosters a little bit more. What's the best case scenario that could come down the pipeline? Obviously, like Harden opting out to take a deal with less money to like spread the wealth a little bit, and maybe we get PJ Tucker in here, but are there any other real names that people are kind of talking about? I haven't really heard of any. It's all been PJ Tucker.
Well, there's still the Bradley Beal domino to fall, and they're saying that he's going to stay. He's going to opt out and sign a 5-year deal. He would be one of your best case scenarios where Harden opts out, takes $10 million less this coming season, $38 million, so you can sign and trade him somehow using this unattractive Tobias Harris, Matisse Thybulle package. Magically Washington goes for it, and then you have your MLE to flesh out the roster. But yeah, I think Harden opting out is where it begins, and getting to that larger non-taxpayers MLE, which is $10.3 million. If you could get Harden all the way down to $38 million, you might be able to also get your biannual exception, but then Harden's just making $120 million on a three-year deal. I don't see him going for that, no matter what Michael Rubin said to him.
Or any Zach LaVine possibilities, which, you know, that just continues to, for me, to be like a trigger. I'm just like, no Zach LaVine, no.
Yeah, those are your quickly fading, never were very realistic pie in the sky scenarios for sure. Just adding like basically a fourth star and just going all supernova scorers with Maxi, Harden, LaVine, and Embiid. But other than that, I think you're looking at like a $6.3 million MLE, and if you can't get Tucker.
Unbelievable.
That's about
it. We're still waiting for some of this stuff to fall and just like waiting for people to blink. Like, why does it feel like we're playing chicken with like half the league right now?
I'm just worried that some team is plotting on some weird way to get a super team when the Sixers are looking a little bit too closely at ways to get PJ Tucker.
Like somehow Minnesota is going to trade for Bradley Beal and we're all going to be like, what? How the hell did that happen?
Yeah, you're always worried that you're going to over, like when we heard the Tobias Harris deal happen and then like a few days later, someone got Otto Porter for like a few second round picks. And we're like, what?
Unbelievable. Or my favorite, what the hell? Why didn't we do that trade? The TJ Warren deal. Like what Indiana gave up for TJ Warren for bubble TJ Warren. That still sticks in my craw to this day.
Bubble TJ Warren is a Hall of Famer.
Bubble TJ Warren is a first ballot Hall of Famer. First ballot unanimous Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but Ben Simmons, all his defensive player of the year buzz, I mean, he put up 50 in the bubble.
Just went right away. Just went right out the window with that.
Yeah. he's a possibility on that $6 million MLE.
He really is. So maybe we can make up for lost time with TJ Warren.
Yeah, maybe he drops low enough and the Sixers could say, look, we have a $2 million vet min to offer, but this is the only one in the NBA where you're basically going to be a plug-and-play starter from day one. Do you want that type of role? And
right.
Maybe someone goes for it.
TJ, do you want to start? Here's $2 million. Want to be a starting
small forward in the NBA?
No one is giving you any kind of money for like just to be a starter or to get maybe more than like 15, 20 minutes off the bench. Like, I don't think any
28 minutes a game is yours if you can do it.
28 minutes a game is yours for $2 million. Just take it, and then you can secure your bag next year.
Yeah, they'll have some roles to sell here for sure whenever they start talking about MLEs and vetmins.
There will be bags to secure after next season if you win, if you're the missing piece for a championship here.
That's going to be their pitch.
sign for $2 million now, get $20 million next season.
Yeah,
get like, money, TJ. Come on,
like what Miami said to Oladipo.
Exactly. Well, this continues to be a fun offseason, and we'll just have to see what more apples shake from the tree. In the meantime, you can always check out everything on the site, libertyballers.com. You can follow me on Twitter. I am at DOB Royster. Dave is at David_Early. And he is on top of so many things nowadays. I can't keep track of them all. Like, what are you even doing this week?
Well, I wrote about if James Harden opts in and doesn't give the Sixers a way to improve around the margins, but ends up on a three-year deal, does that mean that they've essentially prioritized the future more than Joel Embiid's age 28, 29, 30 seasons. If Harden were to opt out and they get a little wiggle room, you're going all in. Maybe you can bring on a PJ Tucker. Maybe you could bring on a $4 million biannual. And so that might be prioritizing and maximizing your chances to win over the next 3 years of Embiid's career. I basically said, no, the right move is probably what they're doing, especially if they can get James to just take a little bit of a haircut. So I wrote about that.
Just a little bit off the top.
So, yeah, you can find that at Liberty Ballers. I'm on Twitter at David Early, and that's about it.
Thank you, Dave, as always, for joining me on the podcast. Until next week, we're going to get out of here. Go Sixers, go Daryl. Let's see what we can do with this roster and improve it for next season because Yeah, Joel, the window of Joel Embiid's prime is shrinking. We got to get something out of it.
Got to get something, and it can't just be, well, we'll have max space when you're 31.
God, that's something I don't want to think about. Thank you, Dave. Thanks for that. Dave, we're going to get out of here. We'll talk to you guys soon. As always, thanks, Dave. Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, Box Media Podcast, and yeah, we'll talk to you guys next week.